Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. Delighted to have Luke on the channel from We Talk Ajax. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good, mate. I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. Great to be on your channel. Absolutely fantastic last week. So, Ajax against Aston Villa, Europa Conference League, two giants in Europe going head-to-head, the tie of the round. But I really want to get a good insight from you, from how everything's going on your side of things. So, as an Ajax fan, how has the season been?
The season's been awful. The season has been tragic because we were in a position where we didn't think we'd ever be. At one point, we were bottom. We were 18th out of 18, right? And it's a load of factors, but mainly it's just been, you know, just poor performances, really.
Yeah. So, you know, as an onlooker from sort of like the Premier League fan to, you know, Ajax, etc., I see players like Kudus come in. I see, you know, Anthony come in and Timber leaving. So big players have left recently. Is that what's sort of like disjointed you along the way to get you to this point of this season, you know, not being to the standards that you guys are used to?
To a certain extent, I think we're used to losing players. You know, we've lost players like De Ligt, De Jong, Frankie De Jong, Timber went recently, like you said, Kudus, Alvarez. So we're used to losing players. But I think where it's got lost is the point where Marc Overmars left, because Ten Hag and Overmars, whilst they may not, you know, they're split amongst the fan base. I know everyone's a fan of Overmars. A lot of people are a fan of Ten Hag. He also had his critiques, as he does now also in the Premier League. And one big thing for Ajax fans, including me, is you know, you start supporting them for a reason. And mine was the attraction to the good football, the youth academy, bringing players through. So there's always like a revolving door. Player goes out, player comes in. You know, you look at someone like, I don't know, Lisandro Martinez went to Man United, and now we got Joro Hato, who's been linked to Arsenal, been linked to Liverpool, and he's 17. So you've always got another player coming in at Ajax. But the issue has been with everything that happened with Marc Overmars. I don't know if you're aware of the story, but he did all that really bad stuff with the females at the club, just being strange. Eventually left and was never replaced. So we lost Ten Hag, lost Overmars. And kind of Van der Sar kind of took it on his own shoulders to try and manage everything, and it didn't work. So lose Ten Hag, we get Schroeder, who was, you know, former assistant manager, etc. He's been over to Belgium, been over elsewhere to be a manager, and hasn't really worked out for him. Didn't work out for him as well then. You know, if anything, it was more like players like Kudus would get him out of tight situations and continue to do so when we had Stein this season. Who was appointed by Mislintat, who was former Arsenal director of football as well. He came in, spent a stupid amount of money, 100 million plus potentially, on players from obscure leagues, Norway, you know, from Roma, Tahirovic was from Roma, and Akpom from Middlesbrough, and players like that. So on paper, kind of like, okay, we're bringing in players that are going to replace Kudus, etc. But it just hasn't worked because they've not had a manager that's good enough to be able to gel them. And some of the players could be is questions whether or not they're good enough. You know, for example, Akpom has been good to an extent where he scored when he's come on in good times, but also it's come at a time where Brobbie's hit really good form. So it's like, well, so we're not using him. But then other players like Mikatadze, who come from Metz in France, he's supposed to be this like Luis Suarez kind of striker, just was never played. So it's like, and then we loaned him back there. So it was like, what was the whole point of everything, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, as an onlooker, you seem to have this way of playing, that sort of like the Ajax way of playing football. You know, whenever you think of Ajax, I subconsciously think of a very good passing team, a team that are very, very good on the ball. So just touch on like the Ajax style and the identity of the overall club, and how is this, how are you doing like right now? What's the style like? What are Villa going to face on Thursday?
So, obviously, the typical Ajax style over the years is, you know, it's high pressing, nice possession football, attacking football, always on the front foot, always want the ball, and always looking to score lots of goals. That's basically the gist of it. A reminiscence of a total football that's been evolved over the years, because that's always been an Ajax and the Netherlands blood, essentially, in terms of football philosophy. But where that's been lost is also the managers. So in modern football, it's not just about a culture anymore, in my opinion. It's about what a manager brings and how a manager changes it to what he sees. You've seen it firsthand with Emery, what your culture was over the years when you had players like Bong Lahore back in the day. And then when you get to play players like now that really shine under a different culture where, you know, you've got Emery and you've changed your director of football or technical director, whoever he brought in, to suit what he needed. And the thing is with Ajax is I feel like they always try to, you know, they always try to keep things a certain way. Like Van der Sar, when he was there, I don't want to say he didn't want to keep it the Ajax way, but he would try to, but take shortcuts is what it seemed like to me, right? Like, which, instead of hiring a technical director, he wanted to try to do things himself, you know, because the reality is there's not a lot of money in the Netherlands as it is anyway. And Ajax have been blessed to sell players, keep their money, and run really well to be the richest club in the Netherlands, you know, and the biggest club. So we always got that financial cushion. So that's where it starts for me, is the managers. So you can't really have a good base if there's not a good manager that understands the way it needs to be played, right? So we've not... There are reasons why Tadic left, is this probably part one of the reasons. You know, we're in a position where the manager comes in, someone like Stein, who overperformed at Sparta Rotterdam. They finished sixth, I believe, right? So Mislintat, who's coming from, he's a German, he's come abroad, wants to do things his way, work with the manager, brings in Stein, and it's just not worked out. So the football from, like, even a year before, after Ten Hag left, was just rubbish, because the manager just didn't know what he was doing either, and that was Schreuder. So what to expect with Ajax is not pressing football, it's not any attacking kind of football really anymore. It's more like, so Ramaya, goalkeeper, likes to play with the ball at his feet. He's, you know, David Raya, he's, you know, Ederson in a sense, but like a lower version, wants the ball, always wants to play it. Doesn't want to just hoof it long unless he really, really has to, always aiming for Bobby, who's a striker. So a lot of the time you see him play to the six, or if it's Henderson who's playing as a pivot, normally he drops in, receives the ball, and he'll turn and play. We play to our centre-backs, who then try to look for a pass. A lot of times you see it end up going to the full-backs and then coming back in. But if we're really confident and we're really like ticking, it will go through the midfield and try to play out the way to Brobbey. But a lot of the time, it seems our game plan is trying to get the ball to Brobbey, who is an old-school target man. 5'11", really big, can hold off almost anyone. You know, he would give Van Dijk a good go, in my opinion, that kind of big build. So, and he'll hold the ball. And normally the ball goes into the box. He plays a 1-2 with someone, and then they end up having a shot. But a lot of it seems to me lack of confidence. So there'll be a lot of ball possession for Ajax at times without any substance. So very rarely are you expecting it. You want it to go forward. You want it to go through the lines. But there are not many players that are that creative. If you look at someone like Bergwijn, you saw him in the Premier League. He scored important goals at times for Tottenham, but what else did you really do other than that? And then we got a player called Hlinsson, who's very young, who come for the academy, who has impressed and works very hard, but it's his first season, you know, so he's kind of just finding his feet also. And then you've got players like Henderson, who aren't known as being really creative. So the only creative player we have is Berghaus, who plays right wing, and he hasn't got the legs anymore. And he's very predictable because he's got a really good left foot and not much of a right foot. You know, so you kind of, if you defend well against him, you know what he's going to do. So at the moment, you know, it's just, we are trying to push for fourth. And, you know, after losing to AZ the other weekend, we're 6 points behind, I believe. It's just not going well because you have that new manager bounce where Van Skip comes in and everything's nice and we're looking, because it's a change, and now it's gone flat again. So, you know, it's not great.
Is your new manager permanent, or is he on an interim?
Interim. It's the end of the season.
Yes. Is there anyone that's been linked with the full time?
So this is where it gets so the fun bit for me. So we have a new CEO. I believe his name's Alex Cruz. He's coming in, and he's come. I think he's coming in the next couple of months. I don't know if it's this month. I can't remember, or if it's like May. But he's going to come in, and I know they're looking for a foreign manager. We're looking for a foreign manager. or someone from a foreign league. And there's been a lot of link with Knutsen from Bodo, who we beat in, luckily, in the Conference League in the last round. And he was my tip to be the one. If anyone from that wants to go and check our channel out, they go and look at our channels. For months, I've been saying he's the one. We need him in. We played them. They played us off the park. We beat them so luckily. They must have like 20 or plus shots at their ground. Absolutely battered us. He was my number one. But there's been links also with assistant manager for Liverpool. I forget his name. I think it's like
Pep Linders.
Yeah, Linders. That's it. Yeah. He's been linked heavily. And then Stoyvenberg from Arsenal has been like thrown there a few months back, maybe start of the season kind of thing. So there's been a load of managers thrown around, but there's nothing like absolutely concrete. That Linders one was the first like proper one we've seen in I've seen in a while. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, so you talked about Robbie up front, you know, as a target man, but he's bagging goals. He's scoring. So what's his finishing like? Is he sort of, you know, does he sort of get his head on stuff, or is his movement good, or, you know, what type of goals does he score?
He's not. He has scored a couple of headers. He's not a header. He's not like an Ollie Watkins, always at a back post, putting them away kind of thing with headers. But if it's like a really clear and obvious cross, and you know, then he can put it away. But a lot of his goals so far this season, actually, it's been a good mix. There's been a couple of ways he's received the ball to feet with his back to the defender, and he turns them using his strength and managed to get away from him, and then he finishes. Or he's making a run, because the problem we had with Bobby last season and season before was he was never reaching that potential. His hold-up play was always been good. But he always thought that the ball just hits him, right, as opposed to controlling it. For me, it was always like, where's the technique? You know, when you think of a target man, you think of someone like an Andy Carroll, an old-school English one, someone that Nick flicks the ball on. He's not that type of one. He's more like, for me, Olivier Giroud will rather receive the feet and play a 1-2 off, but he didn't seem that technical. And then for some reason this season, his decision-making, which was also a con for me, everything's just changed. And I don't know whether there was an issue with his fitness. He wasn't able to last 90 minutes with the intensity on your legs about how, playing 90 minutes and stuff. And he spent time in the gym and you know, that may have had an impact for him. And he has requested to have extra striker training at Ajax. And supposedly, there's rumours that he's not been granted it. So I don't know where the finishing has come from, but if he keeps scoring goals, then I don't really care where it comes from, to be honest. But, you know, it's important we have a focal point that can link up play, because there's not much creativity in the team at the moment.
Yeah, sounds a threat. So normally when teams struggle, they have a distraction such as Europe. I know West Ham last season were really poor, and they had a distraction of Europe, and that sort of gets their form and helped them like survive last season, really. So talk to me about your European campaign, because you've obviously dropped into the Conference League. Do you feel like that Ajax can, you know, your last game you said that you were lucky to go through. Do you feel like you've got enough to get through this tie against Villa?
No. So It's not something that's like, for us, it's not going from the league and then coming to Europe and then playing really well in Europe and then, mm-hmm. and then not playing well in the league. Our struggles are just all over the place. They're like in both competitions. We played an amateur team in the Cup. So Van Skip had to go back to, because I think his son lives in Australia, had a wedding in Australia to go to his son's wedding. So he didn't like come for the last two games before the winter break, before the end of the year. So the assistant took it, and we lost to an amateur team, like someone who's not in the leagues. They're like, yeah, almost like a non-league in England in a sense, yeah. And it's absolutely ridiculous, because that was in the first round of the cup that we was in. So it's just like spread all over the competitions for me, and it doesn't. It's not like we're in Europe. You know, let's go and try. Let's play better. Mm-hmm. It's just like we were absolutely pony against Bodo in the second leg, and they absolutely smacked us, and we scored because Kenneth Taylor tried to cross the board and went in. You know, I was expecting penalties, and I was like, if we get to penalties, great stuff. The fact that we even won was shocked, and obviously I'm over the moon about it, but it showed a lot of flaws that we still have, and only a better team would find them. So I don't see us, you know, I didn't even expect us to get this far. I expected us to lose against Bodo. So, you know, I think Villa will smash us up, to be honest.
So what are your thoughts on Villa then? How would you look at Villa and think of how we're doing?
So I'm an avid... So growing up, the Eredivisie in England wasn't as accessible as the Premier League, obviously. So I grew up an Arsenal watcher or Arsenal fan, right? So that was the team that I watched the most. And my neighbours all supported them. So you naturally just follow the trend, don't you? So I've seen Unai Emery and what he did at Arsenal. And there are times at Arsenal when they were really, really good. And you can see what he wants. And he likes to organise team and he likes to keep the ball. And, you know, and for me at Arsenal, it obviously has changed since, but he only wanted to take risks when they were there to take, otherwise you keep moving them. So seeing Villa now, you can see that he's had... At Arsenal, he didn't have everything changed for him. There were still certain people at the top and it was just him as head coach. And obviously at Villa, you said on our channel that he has free reign of everything into a certain capacity. And, you know, and it shows because he's brought his own players in, some Spanish players, Pau Torres, et cetera, that know how to play football with their feet. And it shows in the league. And obviously, you know, you're going to have those games in form where everyone else does, where, you know, yesterday was quite close for you guys. You won 3-2 Luton and it was 2-2 at one point, I'm sure. So, but that's the Premier League, isn't it? There's no easy game. And it shows real character to come out of those games, and especially when you're away and other games against Arsenal and pull out results. You know what I mean? So he's obviously done a really good job, but not only on the pitch, but also with a certain mentality, you know, because you go in now with a big mentality, like you're going to win every game. And obviously, with no disrespect to Aston Villa, I don't think that's a mentality that Villa have had for a long time. No. So, you know, kudos to Emery for what he's done.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, to be fair. I feel like he's got this sort of inner sort of drive now. And sort of, if I think he came away from the Arsenal thing, and especially, I don't even think he looked at it as like an Arsenal thing. I think he looked at it as like he failed in the Premier League. That's the way I think he looked at it. And I think he's looked at it and thought, what have I got to do to succeed? Because he just talks about like the Premier League in a different way. And there's some of the things he says. And I think you've got a determination to achieve something in the Premier League. And I see that inner sort of strength coming through, even against Luton after the game. It's normally he's like, he gives a bit of a fist pump and he's straight down the tunnel. But against Luton, he was proper going for it at full time. Like, you know, it's like fist pumping, like nearly fist pumping the floor. And I thought, that's showing me that you realise what you're trying to do here. And yeah, it's massive, really. So I think he's learnt from that Arsenal time and tried to sort of bring it all together at Villa. So Villa away first. I think it's going to be a real difficult game. I said on yours that I think you guys are going to... What normally happens when teams play Villa is they bring a level. We've seen it this season with Chelsea in the Cup. Like, you know, Chelsea have played their best football against Villa. You know, they were brilliant at Villa Park, knocked us out the FA Cup. So teams have a habit of sort of like bringing a level. In your head, how do you see this game going the first leg? What's going to happen? You know, how's it going to pan out?
So, you know, it's great that you can feel that about your team with our team. You never know what level we're going to bring at the moment. So we played PSV at home, you know, a month or so back, and we drew 1-1 at home when everyone thought it was going to smash 4-1 because they've, you know, at one point they won every game in the league that, you know, up to a certain point, and then they got a couple of draws. So I might be wrong, but I don't think they've actually lost a game yet this season, PSV. So what they've done there is amazing, but we drew 1-1 and, you know, that was a good standard in terms of the work rate and the effort to put in. The football wasn't amazing. The football hasn't been amazing for a while, but we put the effort in. And sometimes that's all you ask for from your team, right? It's just to get stuck in and proper grind out result. If you haven't got the quality to take it, just, you know, grind out some sort of result. But then we'll go and beat a team 5-0, and then we'll go and draw a team that you expect to beat 2-2, or you lose 2-1, or you lose 1-0, you know, and you just... everything just goes out the window. And you know, there can be reasons as to whether or not they're training right or the manager's right, but sometimes the effort's not there and you don't see the effort at times. Against Villa, if we don't go in with the right mindset that we want to fight for every single thing, you will have field day. You will have an absolute field day. I don't think we'll stop Ollie Watkins regardless, because while we have Yoro Hato, who's an incredible 17-year-old, will be one of the best centre-backs in the world, in my opinion, because he's quick. Left foot, wants to play out from the back, can play left back as well. So he can play in a back three on the left side. So he's so versatile as well. Come into midfield sometimes with the ball, you know, and he's got youth on his side, right? Even though we have him, we have Josip Sitalo, Croatian international, full of mistakes, bag of mistakes, right? And there'll be times where he'll do something amazing. And I don't know whether it's luck or not, but he's always in the wrong place at the wrong time, where the keeper will make a save and it'll hit his leg and roll to someone who puts it in the net. Or he'll miss a header because it's flicked off one of his own defender's head, or he headers it up in the air as opposed to away. And the amount of times I've seen him fall over, and I don't know whether he's settled or not. You know, he just hasn't. I think it was like 20 million plus for us, right? And at the time, he was wanted by other clubs, some from Serie A, some from other leagues. And at the time, it's a steal. And there are times you see the quality, but too much. For too often as well, you see the mistakes, and it costs us because we don't have the best fullbacks also, you know. So the quality just isn't there with our defence. And I don't know how you go about your front three now. I don't know if you start Bailey and Diaby at the same time. Do you?
Nah, so it'd be one or the other.
Because they're both left-footed, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it might be Diaby, you know, because...
Pace will kill us.
Yeah, I think he might rest Bailey for this game.
The pace will kill. Who'd you play on the left?
So we sort of like top heavy on the right. So the left will be not. Yeah, so it'll be like the left back. So it'd be like probably like Luca Dean.
Yeah, so if you overload the left side, you know, then the fullbacks for us, they aren't great defensively. So Divine Wrench has been a weird one. He can play right back, centre back, left back, and he has played centre mid a couple of times. And he's one of the young the youth prospects from the young Ajax, the reserve young team. So he has been better this season. It's the best I've seen him all season, because he has had a couple of awful seasons where he's not been consistent and not been quality. And he's come in when we needed him. We also got a young right back called Tristan Hoyer, who's just come in. He's not very quick, but he's good on the ball. But he's young, so very naive as well. And on the left side, we have Sosa, who is just, he's like, he receives the ball and wants to cry because he doesn't know what to do with it. He's scared of the ball, receives it, panics, wants to pass the ball away straight away, and he's not confident with doing much on the ball. And defensively, he's a liability. So we've not actually got a great left back. So we play Wrench on the left now. And, you know, that's been okay, but still it's very defensively, because you've got a really young 18-year-old at right back and like a 21-year-old at left back who's not an actual left back, right? So pace will absolutely do them in because they're not the quickest. Hato has to cover so much on that side because he is quick and he covers a lot. But on the right side, so Tyler doesn't do that. It's Ollie Watkins will have a field day if he plays on that side of Sitalo, on the right centre-back. Our right centre-back. He'll have an absolute field day. And I think we'll end up 4-0, to be honest, to Villa. I really do. I really, really do.
I really don't. I think it's going to be close, this is. And I think you might be surprised. Right, so what we'll do, we're going to do this episode again after... we've played our game, so build up to the next one. We'll do another one of these opposition ones, and we'll see how it's going into the game against Villa at Villa Park then. So, Luke, cheers for coming on. I'll tag the channel in the description and the title. Cheers, mate.